You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast. Zoneradio.co.za. Chicory Tip there and a Son of My Father. I was tempted to play another song, but I thought I may as well take the pain and get on with it. Hello, Jeff.
Nice. First time this year, and you're already starting your nonsense. Now, look at that. Unbelievable. We're in this beautiful new studio on this beautiful day, and it's the first show of the year, and I'm getting nailed already. Unbelievable.
Would you like me to play like the fanfare trumpet? Or?
What? You see, now you're learning. Perfect.
Would you prefer that?
Yeah, that was very good. Thank you very much.
Only reason I played that is because you seem to have a guest with you, who I'm surprised is even here and prepared to be in public with you. But anyway, here they are. And you can introduce your guest and then your topic and then get on with it.
Okay, get on with it then. Good afternoon. I'm really happy to be. I'm excited about the year. I think it's going to be an amazing year. And I thought today would be a fantastic time and a great time, actually, to talk about making 2000.
A fantastic time and a great time are two different things.
Not really in my book.
All right.
Okay, go. I'm an old guy.
I'm just checking.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Making 2025 a diamond year, absolutely brilliant, and overcoming obstacles and challenges in 2005. How to do that? How do we do that? How do we make this year brilliant? So I brought Lester in. Lester is a friend of mine and a person that's been in business.
Does Lester allow you to say that? Lester, has he got your permission to say, like, he is a friend of
yours? I've got it signed, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let me.
You know,
here it is.
Like I sailed into some sort of war.
I don't know.
I'm a little reluctant to answer. I
feel free, Lester. Anyway, carry on.
Are you sure?
Yes. No, life, love, and fruit salad. Let's do it.
Yeah, some curry here in your eyes. Yeah. You're full of nonsense today, huh? You must have had a rest over the Christmas New Year thing.
No.
All right. All right, so what are obstacles, really? And if you're living in LA at the moment, you'll know what an obstacle is in your life in the first month of 2005, and that's a real obstacle, okay? You could be moving home at the moment. You could have lost your job, or you could have had issues or health issues, or something went wrong with your business, or something carried over from last year. You've had an issue last year and it's not quite resolved, so you're carrying it over. So these are all things that you've got to sort out and work on. And you have to find out what are these things are in your life, because you can't fix anything you don't know that's there. And there will be stuff that comes and hit you on the side of the head, but don't worry about that stuff. You know, worry as well is another thing. You know, we worry about 80% of the things that we worry about doesn't really happen anyway. So don't worry about it until it's there. And when it's there, you do something constructive about it. And that's how we handle stuff. And it takes a while to get that sort of in the brain, but you need to do that. And people that are in business or entrepreneurs especially have a wonderful sense of getting over and through obstacles. And strategies, your mindset is a huge thing with regards to obstacles. You have to have a positive and solution-orientated mindset. It's all very well to say, so I have a positive attitude. Sometimes it's not that easy. But a positive and solution-minded attitude is a must. And that gets you through a lot of nonsense. So you've got tools like creating a journal. So every time something happens to you during the day that's good, write it down. You'll be amazed when you're going through a rough time and you look back and you say, oh my goodness, I got an amazing house. I got some great friends. I met some new people. I won the lotto. 20 Rand, but I won the lotto. You know, and it's all good things that you remind yourself about. Visualization, affirmations about how brilliant you are and how lucky you are to be living at the moment and waking up in the morning, which is very important. I think back to the LA fires again. Now, we spoke about it earlier. There's a nightmare going on there. There are whole towns and cities almost being wiped out. It's incredible what's going on there. So you need to be able to set goals. I'm going to talk about goal setting just now because I think it's very, very important. And create a support system of friends and mentors, because when you're going through trouble in your life and you have people around you that support you, it makes it so much easier, obviously. So, and also prioritize self-care to stay resilient. So some of the programs we're going to do this year are going to be about being fit, losing weight, you know, mind and body. It's going to be all of that stuff in the next 3 months. I'm going to be doing that with on the program with you, Rich. So you've got to be adaptable as well. You've got to learn to pivot when plans don't go as expected. You've got to be able to be on your feet. You know, you've got to have 9 lives. You've got to have 18 lives. You know, that's how you've got to go. And emphasize the value of flexibility and open-mindedness. You know, relax. Work on your life and not in your life. And same thing working on your business. You work on your business. You don't work in your business. And that's a big thing. So I'm going to introduce Lester to you now, and he's going to actually introduce himself and give him a bit of background. But he's a man that I look up to, and I've heard him speak in many training seminars. He's been on radio before, so he's not new to this. But Lester, welcome, and I'm so glad you made it today. Thank you for coming through, man.
Cool. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Rich. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm excited to be here. And man, it's been a while since I've been on air. Usually when I'm on air, I'm on the other side of the mic interviewing someone else. So it's refreshing to be the interviewee for a change.
Just put yourself in my shoes.
Don't you roll your eyes at me. So give us a bit of background on you. Where did you start? What have you done? Hobbies, kids, you know, all kinds of things.
Cool. So Lester Philander, hail from the southern suburbs of Cape Town, born and bred. I'm a father. I'm a Christian. I'm a father of three. I'm a husband to one. And my kids are 4, 5, and 9. So you can imagine what my household is like.
Busy. You know?
Yeah. So I've started my first business about 11, 12 years ago. And I always had this goal that by the age of 30, I wanted at least 1 million rand in my bank account. And we'll talk about smart goals and more specific things when we get later on to the show. And my first business was a candle manufacturing business. So we supplied candles to restaurants, some of the bigger brands, and the chain stores that are out there. And for some reason, I won a couple of awards. And the guys that were always in these cohorts with me always asked me, listen, Lester, how do I do this? How do I do sales? How do I do this financial plan? How do I do this income statement? How do I do this balance sheet? And for some reason, I just had the answers and they flowed quite naturally to me. And eventually someone told me, you should actually be a business advisor. And I looked at that and I measured what I'm making in the candle manufacturing space compared to what I could be making in the consulting space. And for the same amount of hours with less input, I make incredibly more. So I felt, okay, let me finish my honors in enterprise consulting. And that is what I then did. I stumbled along the way. Part of my problem, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs have the same problem, is I suffered from shiny object syndrome because at one stage the business was doing really well. And because I was kind of at the forefront of helping other people scale and grow their businesses, I started thinking, okay, how do I scale and build my own brand? How do I build an asset of value where I'm not the person that is constantly giving of myself, where I can't get a bit of a holiday? So I decided to go into the coffee shop industry. And, you know, it went well for the first few years. And then the crushing and the crash came almost overnight. And this is where I learned some of my hardest lessons. And I think as business owners, we tend to learn more from our failures than we do from our successes. And I wrote a book called What to Expect When Going Self-Employed. And through that process, it also details, you know, how you build the functional skills on the way up, like sales, marketing, human resources, and all the skills that helps you take your business to the next level. But on the way down, this is where you learn the character building skills. And I think entrepreneurs, they tend to neglect that because they think that is not as big of a priority. But in retrospect, you actually realize that that is far more important than some of the functional skills that you learn along the way. So that is me in a nutshell. And I play rugby on a part-time basis. I have no Springbok aspirations. I think my prime years are long gone. And even at my height, I wasn't, and I don't mean to sound negative, I wasn't that great. But I did it to keep my six-pack, the one that I had in my mind. And I did that to just retain the health and stuff a bit.
Okay.
That's me.
Good stuff. And so being through ups and downs and that, and how do you, if you were to give some advice to people that are going through a bit of a rough time now or just carry some stuff over from last year or going into this year and they're doing well at the moment but they hit something, what is the one piece of advice that you would give to them how to get out of that hole that they fall into?
Yeah.
Is there a piece of advice that helped you?
Yeah. So I think with advice is it's so relative that the advice that would work for me won't necessarily work for you. And the first thing we need to master is we need to master ourselves. We need to understand who are we and what is it that gets us over the advantage line. So in my failures and in my struggles, and I actually realized something, I was what is called a functional depressor, and I was depressed, and because I was in that state, everything was just reactive. So I wasn't proactively sitting down, putting things in place, recognizing where I went wrong. And I think it's also the perfect time of the year to do that introspection and ask yourself, what led to where you are now? What are the decisions that you made? Mm-hmm. And in business, it's very seldomly a right and a wrong path, but it's a left and a right. And if you go left, you know, then you're faced with another, do I go left or right again? And then if you choose to go right, and then you constantly have a barrage of different decisions that you have to make on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, and for business owners, it's slightly more. Now, if you have a cycle of constantly making decisions that might seem like the right decision at that moment, but later down the line, you realize, hey, but I'm in the hole, you know, I'm in debt by X amount of money. The business is not growing the way I thought it would grow. What do you do? So do you kind of rewind and go back, or do you push through? So you're always asking yourself the question, are you digging yourself deeper into a hole? Or are you going through a forest? If you're going through a forest, then you need to recognize that things get worse before they get better. So you need to push through. But if you are going into a hole, that means that if you fall fallacy to the fact that you think you're in a forest, you're just going to dig yourself deeper and deeper and deeper. So to answer your question in short, and sorry, you must stop me here because I have this habit of going from Cape Town to George via Joburg. But it's also good because it gives a bit of context.
That's fine.
So if you recognized, okay, listen, I'm not where I wanted to be. And again, this is the perfect time of the year to do that kind of introspection. Then you need to ask yourself, stop and ask, you know, did my series of decision-making get me to this point? Am I happy with where I am? Is this a necessary obstacle in terms of where I need to be? If not, do I turn back? But only you really know the answer because you can consult mentors, and mentors can help you to an extent because remember, you know, mentors, they can give you contextual advice because, you know, they know the situation that you present to them. And then there's also mentors that needs to understand the context. So context also takes into account your thinking and the external factors that influence your environment and influence your success and all those sorts of things. So you can take advice from mentors, but only you really know if you made the best decisions at that time. A lot of the time we go into this victim mindset, we go into this level of justification saying that this is the only business I could have started. This is the only option I had at my disposal at the time. This is why I made the decision. And sometimes we tend to choose easier decisions because we want to avoid the hard and we end up kicking the can down the road. Yeah. But that eventually catches up to us. Mm-hmm. So the best advice I could give, and as general and as impartial and as neutral as it sounds, only you really know what you need to do. You know that you stuffed up somewhere. You know that you didn't make the best decision at that given moment, and you can track that all the way back. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, if you're really self-aware, you can also understand the mindset that you were in when you made that decision. Because in some cases, you're making the best of a bad situation, and you think this is the only thing that I have. And if you really understand and peel off and peel back all of those layers, you recognize that there might be something more there that you didn't have the mental energy or capacity or emotion to handle at that point, but now you might. So you might have to go back and revisit some things.
Yeah. So if you, that's very true. But if you're also in that situation in your own business and you've got a wife at home and you've got kids at home and you've got family that look after you or look up to you or you're helping family, you know, financially and that kind of thing, you've got to manage that situation as well when you in an obstacle thing. And I think you are actually only as good as the partner that's with you as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they can either make and break you or get you through it, or they can break you and you know, wipe out relationships. And we, on this program, we've spoken for a year or two now, Richard and I, on building relationships and what happens and how to get through it and whatever. And being in a hole or having an obstacle in front of you, it does affect other people. It
Absolutely.
Does affect people as you go. So, yeah, it's a story, you know, Lester. And one thing I know about you, I've known you for a while. And, you know, I know you've been up and you've been down and you've been up again. And
down
again. You've always been the same. You've never been not Lester. And I think that's important as well, that you keep the same, you don't crash into a corner. And everybody does crash into a corner at some time, especially when you're putting your hand out, you know, and get slapped along many times. So, you know, I'll give you kudos for that and to all entrepreneurs that have their own businesses. You know, they always say that small business is the most difficult thing to run in the world, because you're the tea guy, the financial guy, the marketing guy, the father, the mother.
And I think that's compounded if you're in South Africa.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. But if you're running a corporation, you've got a lot of people working for you.
For sure.
Okay. So, yeah, it's important, guys. And thank you, Lester, for that. You know, we are strong. We are stronger than we think we are. You know, that's the thing. And we are capable to navigate through anything.
You know, someone once told me that if you know what you're going to go through as a business owner before you start, 99% of them wouldn't start.
Well, it's like a divorce.
Oh, yeah.
If you know you're going to get divorced, right? And then on the other side of that, you get all the stuff that comes that you didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
You would probably say, oh, well, I'll stay with the bastard, or I'll stay with you know, that kind of thing. But here it is. I mean, it was an uplifting quote by Henry Ford. It said, obstacles are those frightful things you see when you take your eyes off your goal. So I'll say it again. Obstacles are those frightful things you see when you take your eyes off your goal. So I wanted to talk a little bit before we end today, because I don't want to make it too long, because Richard gets bored, and that's the way it goes. And then he starts switching things off and putting music on in between, and
yes,
you know, that kind of stuff. So we don't want to make it too long. But I do want to explain a little bit about goal setting. And I know it sounds a little bit boring, but it doesn't have to be. So the missus and I went off over the holidays. We sat at a very nice place out in Paarl. We had an orange juice together, and we sat there with a little book. And we wrote 5 goals that we wanted to achieve this year. Okay, and I think that was important. So there are short-term goals, there are medium and long-term goals. We know that. But just to write down the focus points, what do we want to achieve? And only 5. That's the secret. I used to do it with my kids.
Yeah.
Sit down with them at the beginning of the year and say, listen, guys, we've got goals this year. What do you guys want to achieve? And then I used to meet with them every month to reassess the goals. We look at what did we achieve, what did we get. And if somebody had achieved the goals, we'd make a big thing out of it. And, you know, it's important. Those are the ways of doing it. So I'm going to give a little bit of a template on how to set goals and make it exciting for you for this year. Because you don't have a goal, somebody else will set them for you.
Yep.
You know, and that's the thing. So you really got to be careful. So, okay, so let's look at looking and reflecting on the past year. What did I achieve last year? That's important to look at. Which moments made me proud? Which moments made me proud? You know, what challenges did I face, and how can I improve or approach the things differently? Those are questions that you need to ask first. Then you've got to define your vision. I'm sure you've done that as an entrepreneur. You've done that. You want to know, what do I want to achieve this year? Build stronger relationships, improve my health, grow professionally. And why is this important? Now, that little word, you know what I'm talking about, Lester? Mm-hmm. That little word, why. What is your why?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the thing. Okay. So what is important to me? So goal setting, it's got to be, there are a couple of rules. It's got to be specific. It's got to be measurable. As you said, the SMART goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Achievable,
absolutely.
Relevant, and time-bound. So you've got to give yourself a time. I want to save 100,000 Rand by the end of July and set aside so much money to do that. Okay, so that's all brilliant. Break goals into smaller steps. Okay, we need to look at that. So by March 31st, June 30th, small little tasks that you need to do. Those are actually the goals. So I've realized, teaching goal setting for many, many years to sales forces, the goal is not the end result.
Hmm.
The goal is actually the action steps towards the end result, and those are the little wins that you have, and that keeps you going, because you have those little wins that I call them. Okay, so I love that. Monthly tasks, you need to set them down as well. Accountability plan, talk to somebody, talk to a friend. I don't believe in... If you've got a big project on and you've got big dreams and big goals, don't tell them to everybody.
No, of course not.
Because some people don't like that, and they will put you down, right?
They will.
But the right people around you, they're the ones who are going to support you. Okay, so how do I track my progress on this? What is my why? Just explain why you're doing this on each of the goals as well. And am I capable of achieving this? Of course I am. Of course I am. Potential obstacles. There could be time problems. There could be procrastination, you know, financial constraints, obviously, as well. And then prioritizing tasks. And then monthly review. What progress did I make? What challenges did I face? What did I come right with? And what adjustments? You were talking about the little left, right, left, right. What adjustments should I make to move forward? Is there anything else that you could say? Because you train entrepreneurs and you train people. What would you say would be a nugget that you could give somebody who is now wanting to achieve something and wanting to set this goal? What is it that you think?
You know, I love a quote by Albert Einstein that said, you cannot solve a problem with the same mindset that created it. And a lot of the times when people do goal setting, especially this time of the year, if you look at what your goals are, about 60-70% of them are exactly the same as they were in Jan last year. And the only thing that did not happen is that there wasn't that throughput, that level of commitment that said, I really want it this time. And I think that speaks to the mindset, because someone once made a joke and they asked, it was about this father and this little boy. And this little boy asked his dad, Dad, what are New Year resolutions? And his father responded saying it's a to-do list for the first week of January. So
going to the gym.
Exactly that. And it's one of those things where you need to understand, you know, it's good and well that you're writing it down. That is a level of commitment. But do you have the mind? Sometimes we need to let go of who we are to become who we need to be. And that requires a change and a shift up here before we actually do the practical action steps. Because if you just do the practical action steps and you haven't had that altered shifting that takes place mentally, you're going to default to your habitual nature. Right. And your habitual nature is what stopped you from achieving those goals in the first place.
Mm. And I also think good advice. And I also think staying around positive people and staying away from toxicity and toxic people that don't have your vision, and you know, you become who you mix with, and you become, you know, of the five people around you, you'll become there. So choose your mates, you know. If you are in business, join a nice business network, because everybody's on the same path, they all want to do the same. Everybody goes through stuff. At home, you know, you've got to be aligned. You and the missus, you've got to be aligned with the kids as well. I think involve your kids. I used to involve my kids in my goals. If dad gets so much production this year, you get a bike.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and they would not let me come home. So they got me at the door.
It's interesting, because reward is a good stimulant for the brain. When my wife and I, when we achieved a certain weekly goal, we would treat ourselves that weekend. We'd go to probably one of the most expensive hotels or restaurants, and we'd just go for coffee, because coffee tends to be the same price everywhere. But when the brain recognizes that I was rewarded for something that I've achieved, you kind of wired to now look to achieve more goals and get those and hit those targets, so you can be rewarded as a result.
Yeah, and that is seen in there's a big insurance company in South Africa who has got a rewards program, a big one, okay? And a lot of people are on medical aid, and they know that. This has been the secret of their success, is these little rewards that you get at the end of the week, or this financial reduction, or those rewards are doing. So do it for yourself. When you're going for a goal and you hit something, do something for yourself. I think it's incredibly important to do that, because those are the little wins and the little Oscars that you get every time that you get something right. So,
Absolutely.
So Richard, I think that's it for today. I don't think we need more, because there's so much in this. People got to go out and do their thing. But I hope there had been some nuggets that people can hear and say, listen, you know, this year I really want that car, or I really want that home, or I really want that lounge suite, or, you know, just whatever it is, doesn't matter how small it is. If you learn to set goals and get those wins, it starts becoming a habit, and you'll do it again and again. And those smaller things will become big things as well. So, yeah, that's it for today. I think that's our wrap.
Well, there we go. Thank you very much. Lester, did you get the $1 million in the bank before you were 30?
I did.
Okay, well, there we go. So then you can take what he says as serious.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And as you can see, Lester, we've done a lot of relationship work last year, and it's really working.
That's because Jeff blew some of my millions there.
really working.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Lester, for giving of your time today and your expertise and your experience. And I certainly hope that 2025 is going to be obstacle-free for you. But then is there anything like an obstacle-free year? But may the obstacles be small.
Thank you.
If there are any, Jeff, I really don't care.
I know. The sad thing is, I know. He doesn't. No, he does actually, but he wouldn't admit it.
All right. Listen, thank you guys for coming in. We'll do this again in 2 weeks' time. And it is called The Best of Life, Love and Fruit Salad. You can catch the podcast on our website later on this evening. I think that before you go, there may be a question. Let me just see. Kids live what they learn and are always watching. Okay, I don't know. Yeah, there we go. I'm just sharing that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Very valid. All right. So 2 weeks' time, Jeff will be back, and what he'll be speaking about is anybody's guess, but I think that this conversation at this time of the year is a very, very good one to have. And I think it's one that everybody needs to sit down and give some serious thought to. My take on it is, don't look at goals that are, that are achieved at the end of the year. I'm very much in agreement with Jeff that the milestones along the way will achieve a bigger objective, but the goals must be within sight.
Yeah,
quarterly, monthly, whatever the case may be, and so that you know where you're tracking towards a possibly bigger objective, which could encompass a whole lot of goals culminating in one.
Absolutely.
That's just my view on it, but then I'm not the expert. Thanks, guys. Lester, thank you very much.
Thank
Jeff, I'm bored with you now. You can go.
Okay. Bye. I'm going now. Come, Lester, let's go.